Welcome to Canada's Podcast.
Hello, I'm Mario Taniguzzi, Managing Editor of Canada's Podcast. Joining me today on Calgary's Podcast is my guest, Mark Freeland, who is founder of Two Rivers Distillery in Calgary. Thanks for joining us today, Mark.
Good morning.
All right, let's talk about Two Rivers. Tell me just a little bit about the background to that. When did it start, and just what do you guys do?
Well, we started in 2018 in Calgary here, and for me, it was kind of a desire to utilize all of the really top-notch natural ingredients that Alberta has. So, plus they changed the laws in 2012 that allowed smaller distilleries to open in Alberta. Before that, you had to produce at least 1 million liters a year. So obviously a small distillery couldn't do that. We had, you know, two distilleries in the province at that time. So when they changed the laws, it kind of opened up the floodgates to anything. There was no longer a minimum requirement. So Alberta having top-notch grains, especially barley, I thought that there was a real opportunity to do a whiskey distillery. And I love gin and I love liqueurs and I love so many other things. It turned into a nightmare of many, many different products. So,
so what kind of, maybe run through the list of like, what do you guys make?
Well, we're known mostly for our gin. Our London Dry gin is a 12 botanical, herbaceous and spicy style London Dry gin. Yeah. It's won awards in California, London, England, all throughout Canada. So that's kind of what we're known for. But we're also known for having a new product almost every few months. So but the nice thing about being small is you can really indulge your, I don't know, your wants and your creativity. So if I find I taste something, or a lot of times my wife and I, well, not so much anymore, but back in the day, we'd go for dinner a lot and there'd be something cool on the menu that I taste. And I'd go, I wonder if I could translate that into some kind of alcohol. So a lot of products have actually come from that.
Yeah. So, Mark, as looking at your background, you're U of S, a Saskatchewan graduate, history and archaeology.
Yes.
And then you also worked in the residential construction area for a number of years. So how does somebody with that background end up doing what you're doing now?
It was, I don't know, it called to me. I've always been interested in the booze business, especially in the manufacturing side. I grew up playing music professionally. So I've been in bars since I was 17 years old and just around it all. And I've always had an interest for it. If honestly, as far as spirits were concerned, I didn't really start developing a passion for that until my early 30s. But by the time I was getting into my late 30s, it was already an idea in my head that, you know, this would be really cool to open a brewery or a distillery or something like that. And then when they changed the laws, then it really started picking away at me. So yeah, that was where it came from.
All right. And you mentioned a musician. Tell us a little bit about that and your career there.
Oh, well, I don't know if it's really been a career. It's been more of a distraction, I'd say. Anything we started playing when I was in grade six, and I've played with some pretty talented musicians in my life. I've been blessed with that. Right out of high school, my drummer and I, we packed up our gear and his dad drove us to Edmonton and dropped us off at a buddy's house. And we joined a band and started touring full time. We were playing six nights a week for about a year and a half with that. And we were going to be big rock stars. And you know, after a year of doing that, I was going, well, I don't know about this. This is a pretty hard life. So I decided to pull the pin on that and move back to Saskatchewan and go to university. And but I still played my whole time through that, and then after university, I was recruited for a job out in Calgary in construction, and I came out here and ended up hooking up with my old drummer again, and started playing in the Calgary scene. And after a few years here, I don't know if you've ever heard of the band Zucker Baby. They're pretty popular in the 90s. They were about to record their third studio album. And Reed, the guitar player, approached me and asked me if I wanted to join the band and play bass on that. So I ended up playing with them for a couple of years too. And you know, that didn't really do anything. So now we just do it for fun.
So you still play?
Yeah. We play once a month at the distillery. It's pretty funny. Really? I usually don't tell people that because it could sound a little bit pathetic. You know, hey, come to my distillery, watch me play. Most people would be like, who is this idiot? I bet she sucks, right? So I always kind of keep that on the down low. And then when people come out and play, they go, oh, you're playing. It's fun.
And you play rock?
Yeah, we do. We just do covers. We play pop music. Everyone in the band's huge. Like, we're huge U2 and Brit pop fans. We do George Michael and lots of Prince, all kinds of fun stuff. We're children of the 80s, so yeah. We play lots of that.
Canada's Podcast is your gateway to success in the world of entrepreneurship. Start listening today. Canada'sPodcast.com. Subscribe now.
All right, so I love my music, I love my whiskey, so I'm going to come down there and visit you one day.
It's fun. Yeah, the boys in the band, it's a pretty stacked band. Our drummer played for a while with what the heck is their band? Big Sugar.
Yeah.
And then our singer played in two recording acts as well. He's very, very talented. He's got a theater background as well. So he's a monster. It's fun. It's so not work.
Exactly right.
Yeah.
So where are you from in Saskatchewan?
Well, I was born in Southern Ontario. My family's all from Kingston. And we moved to Saskatchewan in 1981. There was my dad was driving taxi part-time at the time. He wasn't making enough money to support family. So we packed up the 77 Chevy Impala four-door boat and drove out to Saskatchewan. So we were there. I was there from 81 till about 2000. That's when we moved to Calgary. So we moved to Prince Albert, Saskatchewan.
PA.
Right on the North Saskatchewan River, small town, like
home of the Raiders.
Home of the Raiders. Yeah. Mike Modano was playing hockey there when I went to high school. So cool. That was pretty cool. He was pretty good. He was pretty good. Yeah. So
what do you think you learned, from living and being in Saskatchewan that's helped you in your career, what you do?
You know what? Saskatchewan and people love to beat on Saskatchewan a little bit. But I tell you, the people there are the hardest working, most honest people that you'll ever meet. And if somebody there doesn't like you, they'll tell you to your face. And if they do like you, they'll tell you to your face, right? Like, it's just the work ethic there too is strong. Like, very, like everyone wants to work. You know, growing up, all of my friends in high school all had jobs, you know, and they'd be on a Friday night, everyone would want to go party. It would be like, you know, Ross is working at Turbo until 9 o'clock and Howdy's over at A&W. So we got to wait till everyone gets off work before we can go out. Right. So, yeah, I don't know. I think, you know, just work ethic, honesty, right. Just good salt of the earth people. So
loyalty too, right. Because you can't find more rabid fans, say for the football team, for the Riders and everywhere, right? And just the pride of the being from that province, right?
Yeah. People, I consider myself more from Saskatchewan than I do from Ontario, to tell you the truth. I remember a lot from Ontario, but Saskatchewan is definitely where I grew up. So
yeah. So being a business owner, like obviously you went through a difficult period of time there as everybody did, like through COVID. Like, maybe can you talk a little bit about that journey, Mark, and, you know, going through COVID in the last couple of years? You know, it's been tough for a lot of people. How's it been for you, and what have you done to survive, I guess?
It was fun. It was definitely it was a challenge, I tell you. We during our build, it's hard to open a distillery in Alberta. It's really difficult. And in Calgary especially, it's very, very hard. And I had done my due diligence before, because I'd spent 20 years in construction. So I knew, I was in construction management in the executive. So I knew how to set up different businesses and all that kind of stuff through that. So I went and did my due diligence before even planning to open the distillery. And it still took us about 11 months over budget. And, you know, we blew our budget out by twice as much far as money was concerned, just because the city of Calgary they didn't really know what they were doing as far as distilleries were concerned. So they just kept changing and dragging their feet and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. At the end of the day, we opened about, almost a year later than we were supposed to. So we got all of our licensing from the AGLC, and we're able to open our tap room on December 23rd, 2019. So 2 days before Christmas. Yeah, like $500 in the bank, and 2 days before Christmas, and we're just like, right, crap. So we got through that. January, had to go beg and plead with some shareholders to get enough money to float us until springtime, and we're like, okay, come springtime, we'll be fine. Yeah. And we had done a collaboration spirit with Village Brewery in town, and we were going to do the official launch for that on, I think, like on St. Patty's Day or whatever. And then everything got shut down for COVID right before that. So, yep. You know, I went home to my wife and I said, well, we're screwed, right? Like I said, like there's no chance we're going to survive. We don't have any money. And if we're closed, I mean, we can't pay our bills. So that was tough. That night though, I usually never watch the news, but for some reason I watched the news. I guess I just needed to watch the news, and they were talking about the global shortage of hand sanitizer. That. So I Googled what the WHO recipe was for it, and I'm just like, I could probably make that. So the next day I got up, came into work, called CRA Excise and said, listen, I think I could probably make some hand sanitizer here. You know, what do I need to do? And she goes, I'll send you over your licensing today for it, because you need to make it. We need it. You'll have to get tested, blah, blah, blah. And there's some hoops to jump through. But it was amazing how fast the government could get our licensing to us when they wanted to. I found that very, very interesting. Whereas everything takes a long, long time, but they got that to me really, really quick. So that was quite illuminating. So so I kind of flipped the switch at that point and just started making hand sanitizer. I had had enough made that we released it April, like right early April, April 1, April 2. And we had lineups around the building for people to come and get it. Yeah, so it really saved our bacon. It was a short-term thing. It only lasted for a couple months for us, because once the big guys were able to get their big bulk in, we dried up, because they had, you know, the news media paying attention and that to them. So, but that helped us survive. But then, you know, it just kept dragging on. You'd be open for a little bit, then you get shut. You'd be open with restrictions, and we were just, it was, we could never get traction. And of course, we're a brand new business. We had no brand name. Yeah. So for us, we had to end up taking a bunch of extra loans out just to survive over COVID. But, you know, in retrospect, I always tell people, I go, for the first year that we were open, and it was a COVID year, Honestly, I don't think that we would have done a lot more sales, even if there wasn't COVID, just because we were so new, right? And actually, we did get some press from the hand sanitizer. So I looked at our sales at the end of that year, and I was like, well, you know, would we have done better? I don't know. But year number two is what killed us as a business, because that was the year that we should have been, you know, ramping up a little bit and having people in the tasting room. And that year was just terrible. So by the time COVID was all over, we were in a position where it was just like, you know, back to square one sort of thing, and accumulated a bunch of debt. And so all of a sudden your monthly payments are more, and, you know, then you're like, oh, I need to sell X amount more bottles just to make these monthly payments. So yeah, it's been this business, and I always tell people this, I've never been in a business in my life where you can't just set a plan and then implement it and then focus on it for an extended amount of time. You're constantly pivoting in this one. And it's exhausting. The truth, right? Right. So yeah,
it's exhausting, but I guess it's necessary, right?
Yeah, no, there's no other choice.
Yeah. What do you think got you through all this?
My wife. Personally, yeah. She's a rock. And when I would come home and I was like, you know, I don't know if I can do this anymore. She'd be like, you can do it. So here, have a glass of wine. We'll sit down, hang out, and you can do this. So yeah, she was good. I think as business wise, was some of the pivots that we did. And I tried, and I've done almost everything here myself. So we've kept our wages really low, which has also handcuffed the business as far as growth is concerned. Mm-hmm. But it's allowed us to keep our nose just above water. You know, I put a lot of personal money into the company too to keep it solvent, right? Just to keep the wolves at bay, sort of thing. So we've seen a good increase in sales from year to year. So even over COVID, we were showing an increase in sales. The number one focus always for this company was to make sure that the spirits that we were making were the best that we could make them, like the best quality possible spirits that we could do. And I think that has helped us a lot. It's not the easiest way and it's not the cheapest way to do it, but you know, I look at my return customers a month, and we have a really high percentage of return customers. And I think if it wasn't for that, we probably would have went bankrupt a long time ago for sure. So
join our thriving community of like-minded individuals who share a passion for success and innovation. Canada'spodcast.com. Subscribe now.
When you look at the industry, Mark, you know, we see a lot of distilleries, we see a lot of breweries out there. What is it, I guess, about the consumer today that are kind of wanting this types of stuff, that want that craft, whatever, whiskey or that craft beer?
I think, I honestly think that there's a portion of the population that is very focused on that, the locavore population, right? They're interested in that. I think that's a pretty small portion of the population, like maybe 10 or 15%. Yeah. Then there's 60% of people that are, you know, either way, they're not really sure about it, but you can convert them to mm-hmm. the religion craft because they've, you know, every week I have somebody in here saying, well, you know, I had this bad experience with gin when I was a teenager. Like I had a gentleman, everyone has, right? He was, his daughter had brought him in for a touring tasting this weekend. He's in his 60s. And he goes, I had a bad experience in my teen years with gin. And I said, I think it's time to get over it. So, you know, here. So we did the tour and we did our tasting. I always take the people through a guided tasting and teach them how to taste spirits, because a lot of times people will just take it and go, and you know, it's just a shot. So you have to, it's like tasting wine or anything or beer. There's a correct way to do it. And by the end of it, he bought a bottle of gin. He goes, I love gin. I go, well, there's good gin and there's bad gin. Yeah. It's just like anything else. There's good beer, there's bad beer. Good wine, there's bad wine. I said, so, you know, you can't just say I had a bad experience once and you know, and never do it again. So
yeah, I think. Yeah, that's true. So where did you come up with the ideas for the different kinds of spirits?
Originally, I was only going to do maybe a handful of spirits, right? You have to, vodka is the base spirit for all the vodkas and most liqueurs and for gins, right? Yeah. So I always knew that I was going to have at least one vodka and one gin. And then the focus was to get as much whiskey in the barrel as we could, because whiskey has to age for a minimum of 3 years in Canada, right? So to get, for a small distillery like us, to, unless you've got major financial backing, which we don't, is to sell white spirits until your brown spirits are ready. So I always was going to sell gin for sure. Just I'm a big gin fan. Mm. And I worked really hard to develop our gin recipe. It was about 18 months and over 50 recipe runs to get our gin to where I wanted it to be. So I always knew that was going to be something, but kind of the focus was going to be whiskey. Well, I found during COVID that, you know, I needed to really pivot. And that just ended up adding more and more flavors to our portfolio, right? Started off with regular vodka. And then I was like, well, I had tried this espresso vodka that I'd really liked, and I was like, well, I want to try that and see if I can make one myself. So I distilled some vodka with some coffee beans in it, and I was like, well, that's interesting. And then I'm like, okay, well, let's see what we can do with this. And you know, a couple months later, it's to a point where I was like, okay, that's good. And then we're making Caesars in the tasting room, and we're doing spicy Caesars, and I'm just like, well, why don't I make a spicy vodka instead of using Tabasco? So I'm like, well, you know, I'd had a habanero vodka before. And I was like, well, I know that there's places in Alberta that grow jalapenos. So I'm going to check that out. Yeah, there's a Boxburn Vegetables are called. They're out of.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they're out of Lethbridge. He's got two big greenhouses down there, and he grows jalapenos. And they're hot. So I ended up getting some jalapenos from them. Now our jalapeno vodka is one of our best selling vodkas. And then our Caesars really took off. We had put our Caesars in a contest, and this was in 2022, and they were voted. It was voted the best Caesar in Calgary. So one of the main ingredients in any Caesar is pickle juice, obviously. Yeah. So I was like, well, maybe I should do a dill pickle vodka. So, right. So everything just kind of evolves like that. And the beauty about a distillery of this size is that I can indulge it because I don't have, well, for one thing, I don't have a group of people that I need to convince. The only person I have to convince is this idiot. And if it doesn't work out, I only have myself to blame.
Right? Yeah.
So usually for any of the small stuff, I'll just do a really small batch. And then see if it sticks. And if it sticks, then we make more. So,
oh, cool.
It's evolved that way into way too many products.
Well, you know, I have, I'm looking forward to tasting. My wife successfully bid on a silent auction item at a event we were at recently. And it was a garlic vodka. And I'm really curious. Being Italian, I'm really curious. I wonder what that's going to taste like. I haven't cracked open that bottle yet, but it will come.
I actually do a garlic vodka for the Caesar shop in Calgary.
Oh, cool.
It's her own label. Rachel's label, and I only make it for her. So she sells it at she uses the black garlic, the fermented garlic.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty, it's nice. It's really nice. It's pretty garlicky.
Well, yeah. I look forward to, as I said, coming down one evening. I'll check out a few of your drinks and check out the music, and I look forward to that someday. Yeah. Well, thanks very much, Mark, for joining us today.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
All right. That was Mark Freeland, who is founder of Two Rivers Distillery in Calgary. I'm Mario Taniguzzi, managing editor of Canada's Podcasts, today with Calgary's Podcast. Thanks for joining us.